Welcome to season two of Beyond Beauty. I'm so excited. Where I talk with visionary artists who share their journeys, influences, and creative processes. My name is Jacqueline Cofield, and I research and study artistic praxis. This season brings together a wonderful and diverse lineup of voices, artists whose roots and cultural backgrounds shape the art they bring to the world. Each conversation reveals not just the artwork, but the personal and collective narratives that inspire it. Join me as we explore the intricate blend of heritage, creativity, and purpose that defines these remarkable women artists. Welcome back to Beyond Beauty. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Frida Baranek, a Brazilian artist known for her expansive installations that push the boundaries between the organic and the industrial. Frida's work challenges us to think deeply about scale, space, and the complex relationship between humanity and nature. Her journey from architecture to art and her early memories of drawing and making sculptures have all shaped a career that spans continents and decades. We will discuss her early experiences, her fascination with spatial relationships, and how Brazil's vibrant landscape has influenced her large-scale works. Get ready for a conversation that takes us into the mind of an artist who views creation as both an exploration and a form of questioning. Frida, I'm so excited to have you here with me today. Thank you so much for responding to my call and welcome to the Beyond Beauty podcast. I first encountered your work through the National Museum of Women and Arts, one of my favorite museums in Washington, D.C. And I've also visited Brazil multiple times and I'm hoping to return soon. So I'm really fascinated by how you transform inorganic materials into organic forms. Coming from such a beautiful place as Brazil, your unique approach offers a fresh perspective on art and nature, and I'm really excited to dive into your creative process and inspirations with our listeners today. So thank you so much for being here.
Wow, Jacqueline, thank you for having me.
And I understand you're in Portugal. One of the things about interviewing global women artists is everybody's all over the place, and I feel like I need to dust off my passport and join you all. Yes. So it's time for me to get the show on the road. So I'm an educator and I like to start off with thinking about your early experiences, your childhood education experiences. And so that's my first question, is to think about how did your early education influence your interest in arts? And were there particular experiences that steered you towards becoming an artist that you had when growing up?
Well, as a child, I was already interested in art. I always had a great time drawing and painting and making things. I remember that my favorite place to play, for example, was under the dining room table. Like, I always looked for some kind of special space or something different. And it was
always one of those two.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's quite common, but not every child is like this, you know. And I think throughout my childhood, my parents also to see exhibitions and they took us to see, to go to the museums. And so that was always exciting for us. And, you know, and later I was always reading books and that's how it went.
Mm. Yes, actually reading, I'm so glad you made that connection between reading and creativity because it really does inspire so much of your social imaginary. So I'm really glad to hear that you had opportunities to go to exhibitions and museums as a child. You mentioned your parents brought you, but did you get a chance to go to museums and exhibitions with your school or was it just with your parents and family?
No, at that time, this was a long time ago, schools didn't take us to museums or anything. It was really my parents. And I think maybe because my mother comes from Poland originally, you know, she was is an immigrant in Brazil. And I think there was this culture in the family to travel and to see things and to learn. This was always very important for my parents. So we, you know, that's what we did.
Wonderful. And then you went to study at the Escola de Artes Visual and also the Santa Ursula University. Can you tell me about your university experiences? How did you arrive at studying art and sculpture in your university experiences? What was sort of the trajectory that led you to make that choice?
Yeah, well, in fact, I did not study art much. So when I had to make the choice of what I was going to do as, you know, my studies in university, there was no option for my family that I was going to study art. It was either architecture or industrial or design. And my father was really firm. And I said, okay, I'll study architecture. And also, I mean, I think you know this, but there is in Brazil, you know, there are incredible architects and also incredible artists, but there was not like a good art school at that time. So I went on and started to study architecture. And slowly on the second or third year of university, I noticed that my projects were a little different than the other people. They were more free. And I started to think a lot about sculpture. And suddenly I had this urge to make sculpture. And I made this comment with my mother. I said, you know, I wake up and I go to sleep and I think that I have to make sculptures. And then my mother said, well, why don't you go do it? And so I looked for some courses, you know, here and there that I could go, that I could do while I was at university. And it was then that I went to do a few courses at the Escola de Artes Visuais in Parque Lage, and also at the Museum of Modern Art in Rio. So I ended up making those courses with really good artists where I would just develop some kind of work. And I did that over the last 2 years of university. And by the time I ended the university, I had a body of work, some kind of body. And I decided to apply to a master at Parsons in New York. And I thought, well, if I get in, I have to go. And I got in. But prior to that, there was a very big and important exhibition in Rio at the Parque Lage School that was called Como Vai Você Geração 80? How are you the 80s generation? And it was like this big show with more over 100 artists. And at that time, I already started to make big installations. And I made a big installation on that space. Actually, there was a center pool and I used the pool. And with that, you know, I got to have a lot of attention. And I ended up then leaving and going to New York for a year. And it was the first time really that I experienced going to an art school. And what happens was that because I had just finished 5 years of architecture, I just wanted to work and I didn't want to be in school anymore. And I spent most of the time in the museums in New York that, you know, I hadn't been to New York. And I was fascinated also by American art, and I wanted to learn everything about it. And I spent most of my time in the museums. And I realized that what I had to do was just to work. I had to develop my own work. And being in New York was super expensive for me. I was young. I was like 23, you know. And
it's still expensive now.
No, I know. But as a young, you know, student. And so I went back to Brazil. And I thought that if I were in Brazil, I wouldn't be able to develop my work better, easier, in an easier fashion. And and it was the right thing to do, because when I went back, I met through a friend this dealer who gave me my first show. And that was in 85. And after that, I had the second show with him 2 years later. And then I decided to move to São Paulo. And I moved to São Paulo.
What brought that about?
Yeah, it was, you know, Rio. I thought Rio was very slow, and I wanted to explore São Paulo. And São Paulo has been always a more exciting place to work. I wanted to have that experience, and I went. And the first year was very difficult because I was used to this other lifestyle in Rio, you know, surrounded by nature and all that. And São Paulo was super urban, but I liked it. And then what was really the big difference in my career was that I was selected to be part of the São Paulo Biennale in 89.
Oh.
And that was a great opportunity for me. I made this very, very big installation where I use, you know, all the knowledge I had from architecture school, and I worked a lot with the space and the relationships between materials, and, you know, it was a very nice installation, and that had a huge impact. And it was just, you know, one invitation after another. That's when afterwards I was invited to the Aperto in Venice in 1990. And then I was invited for this other show in the early 90s at the National Museum of Women in the Arts. And that's where I showed that the work you saw, they ended up buying the work. So it was like this, you know, it's like some kind of flow, like the flow of life, that it takes you to places. It takes you, you know, it makes you do things.
And you're doing things and making things. It's so fascinating to me how you started off in architecture. And one of the questions I had already been asking myself about your work is, much of your work is large scale. And so I was already thinking about the role of scale in your work. And you mentioned that your first show or your first exhibition, when you came back from New York, you made a very large piece. And so you started out big. And so I wonder, can you speak to the role of scale in your work?
Yeah. It's funny because I feel very comfortable making large scale works. It's what I do. I was never interested in the object, you know, in the question of the object. I am interested in the question of the space and in the relationship between things. And the reason is that because when you talk about relationships, you are talking about emotions, you are talking about experience. And that's what I think it drives me. And I think that's what drives people, you know. You can only remember experiences when you felt something, you know, when you don't feel anything, it doesn't mean anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important for me. And that's very important for me when I'm making the work, because I have to feel it. There is something you feel that when things are in the right place, you know,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting you mentioned this idea of spatial relations. And that just made me think about the multisensorial, the encounter, the embodiment of an encounter. And so I think that you're really speaking to these notions of embodiment and multisensorial engagement.
You know, with all this, I just want to add that there were where it enters the relationship with nature. And that's where my work connects to nature, because I always felt me, you know, Frida as a human being, I am part of nature. I am related to the tree, to the ocean, to the sand, you know, to anything that is around me. And I always paid attention to it. In Brazil, the nature is very exuberant. And for me, I was always used to that kind of scale. I already thought about mountains. I didn't think about a little hill, you know. And when I started to work, that was a scale. There was that scale in relationship to me, to the body, and how I relate to that. And then with time, you know, it was quite difficult many times when I was young, because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was making. I didn't know why I was doing that. But I felt that I just had to do it. And that was maybe what I was going to do in my life, you know? So all those relationships, every time I work, I am a product of the industrial, you know, revolution, in the sense that I come after surplus materials didn't exist before. You know, it's more or less my generation that start to encounter those things. And those things were available. Those things were more affordable. And also, I found, well, if all this is here, why don't I use it? You know, why don't I do something with it? Which is, you know, something I carry until this day. When I make something that I use, you know, those industrial materials that I have a use, and I transform it and it becomes somehow something organic, I am commenting on that surplus. You know, what are we doing with all this?
Yeah, that tension that you mentioned between nature and industrialization, and this question that you have, one of the things I love to tell people is that artists are researchers, artists are deeply thoughtful, they're asking a lot of questions, and a lot of times questions are driving your practice. And so I love that you pose this question here. And I'm wondering, what messages or reflections do you hope to communicate through your use of industrial materials and organic forms?
I think people like shouldn't be afraid to transform. Transformation is something, I think, very exciting to do. I think there is a lot of surplus material around that are many times brand new. And it's just not being used, you know. Sometimes it's used, and I think people are making more of an effort to use it, to recycle it, and all that. But more than recycling, I think I like more the idea of transformation, because transformation is something creative, is something genuine, is something that relates to you, and it's there.
So then in that way, your work sort of functions as a model for that sort of transformation. It gives us an opportunity to expand our social imaginary, to imagine what's possible with these materials and these forms. That's really fascinating. So you mentioned your global travel. You're in Portugal now. You're born in Brazil, and you've traveled extensively living in, I have here that you lived in Paris, Berlin, and New York City. But I know that you've traveled quite a bit internationally. How has international exposure and experiences influenced your practice, particularly on your commentary and your reflections on industrialization and the environment?
Well, I think that I think I was lucky to have all the opportunities I had. And because I am curious and I also have an ability of adapting and working in other places, I created a different system for myself. I ended up moving from Brazil in 92 to go to Paris because I got a fellowship there. And I ended up meeting my ex-husband, who is a journalist. And I ended up staying there. And that was just one opportunity, you know, that I had. But it was just not that. I liked that challenge, you know, I liked the experience. It's always a lot more difficult to move and start over again than to stay in one place. People say, oh, you are an artist, you can work anywhere. Yes, it's true. You can work anywhere, but you have to recreate that environment every time. And that is work, you know. And I also decided that I wanted to have children.
Uh-huh.
And it was important for me. So in all this, I was working, producing, I had two children, moving from time to time to a different place. But I saw that as a huge opportunity that life offered me. And with that, I gained a lot of experience with the work, with producing work, with making things happen anywhere, you know. And that gave me confidence as a person and as an artist. But I know you need to have this kind of personality to be able to do that and to feel grounded. You know, I learned very early on that grounded was not where I was. Grounded was myself. You know, I had to create that strength and that surface where I was going to move. I was going to exist. And I think all this vulnerability and all this kind of experiences in my work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you mentioned you're a mom. I'm also a mom. And I just completed my doctoral studies as a mom. My daughter was one when I came to New York to start my doctoral studies. She's six now. So I have gone through this really intense experience, this journey with her. And people will always ask me, I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, I don't know how you do it without a child, because she gets me up and I'm up in the morning. Every morning she's getting ready to go. I got to take her to school. And so I'm ready to go. 8:30, I'm ready to work. If I didn't have her as a doctoral student, maybe I would be sleeping in, things like that. And so I felt like it helped me to be very productive and focused. And so I'm wondering, now that you've mentioned this, that if you can speak to how being a mom has, because I feel like a lot of women, creative women, feel that it may be a challenge for them to be a mom and an artist at the same time. And so I love that you can show this example to us and tell us, how did you balance being a mom? And also, what influence or role, how do your children engage with your work?
Well, it was quite difficult for me in the first few years, because I think as an artist, the reference of your life is you. And you have to go deep inside yourself, you know. So when I had my first child, I was totally lost, totally. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about my baby. I would go to the studio and I couldn't think about anything there because I was thinking about the baby, and I was always fighting with my, but why are you here? Then, you know, but I slowly insisting and trying, you learn how to separate all the spaces that you are a parent a certain time and then you go concentrate another time. But that's life, you know, you always have to make choices and you are going always to give up something in order to do something else. And I think people have really to ask what's important for them. For me, I am so happy I have my children, and those relationships taught me so much about life and myself, and that experience was always important. I don't know, I see life like this, you know, as relationships. It's not, we don't live alone. We are not going to do anything alone. Mm-hmm. And I think the more we are aware of this, you know, we really build a better world around us.
Yeah. And our children will inherit this earth, the future. They are the future. And so this idea around transformation that you're negotiating in your practice, particularly of industrial materials, I mean, that's really relevant thinking of this environment that our children are going to inherit in the future. So I'm sure your children are learning so much from you about that as well. What about self-care? What kind of acts do you, when you're balancing all of this travel and your artistic practice and mothering, how do you take care of you? What are some things that you do for self-care?
Well, as an artist, you learn that you have to be very disciplined. If you're not disciplined, you know, you wake up, nobody tells you what to do. You don't go somewhere and people ask you, oh, can you please do this or do that? Nobody's asking you anything. Everything you create is from scratch and from nothing. From nothing. So, and it's the same thing in your lives, you know, like I learned very early on that I had to exercise, as you know, a little bit every day. I had to go for a walk. I had to do some yoga. I had to meditate. I had to have a glass of wine, you know, sometimes. Like, all those things I had to take care of myself.
Thanks. This sounds like my routine.
Yeah, no, it's important to feel, I mean, to learn about yourself, to understand who are you? What do I have to do to have the best energy, the best way of life that you can make things happen? The other thing is, it's a very big challenge to be a sculptor, because in order to produce work, you start making an investment. You're always spending before you earn anything. And that's very tricky. I think it doesn't happen with every artist. But with people like me, it does. And so, you know, you have to, I mean, the whole thing is an equation and a balance and how to keep this thing flowing, how to, you know, where and how can I work better and have a pleasant life and, you know, everything.
Yep. Well, you just came back from Brazil where you opened two shows. And I was wondering if you can tell us about these exhibitions. I was particularly intrigued as I was watching some videos of the installations that there were indoor and outdoor components to the curation of these exhibitions that you have right now in Brazil. So can you talk about this sort of the curatorial approach to, or the significance of your work being indoor versus outdoor, in nature or inside a building? What kind of decisions or thoughts do you have that go into those choices?
Well, those two shows have something in common. They are both, each one of them had different curators. One is in São Paulo, where I opened in June at Galeria Raquel Arnaud. And it's mostly works on paper. I also produce works on paper. And the second one, it's in Bahia, in Trancoso, which is a very nice place in Brazil, surrounded by nature. And it's also a compilation of pieces from different times, you know, throughout 30 years that the curator chose in Brazil. He made this selection. The idea of that work is the exhibition is called Inside and Outside, because it's to do with not just the nature of the work, but how my life has been. Because I have been always going back to Brazil and feeling that sense of belonging. And then I was out of it and I was, you know, I'm belonging somewhere else. So that happened to me over the last 30 years that I go in and out all the time. And the work is a little bit like this, you know, because it's a works that don't have boundaries sometimes, that they don't have an exact size. They don't have an exact position. They sometimes change from show to show a little bit. They all have this same DNA, you know, but they sometimes transform. And I like that because I think the idea of transformation, even in the work of art, it gives you hope. You know, it's always, I like the feeling that something can change, something can be different. It's not stagnated, it's not a fact. And I like that feeling, you know. And in all of it, which is important for me, is the process. And the process, which I have not spoken before here, is my process has to do with how I feel. It starts with feelings and the connection I feel with a material, or, you know, I do feel connections with materials. I know not everybody does, but I do. And that's the starting point for me. And then I explore that. And by exploring with other things and making combinations and, you know, between things, I wait until that object, you know, that thing tells me, okay, this is something you can explore. You can, you know, go and dive in it.
I love that. I mean, there's so much histories and materials and just this idea that you acknowledge this relationship that you have with materials, these sort of feelings and ideas and memories that you may associate with them that probably plays a role into your selection of them. So as a teaching fellow at the Whitney Museum of American Art, I get asked often by visitors about the intentions of artists' work. Can you discuss how you approach questions that you may get from your audiences, from your visitors, about your artistic intentions? I'm interested in learning about how you perceive and engage with audience experiences of your sculptures and of your multidisciplinary work.
Well, for me, I always think about what touches me, what interests me. And when I am in front of an artwork, that is not mine, I need to feel a connection. And it is this connection that I expect that somebody might have with my work. I, you know, this is personal. People will have connections with different things. What speaks to me might not speak to you. But I think it's that space where you open that possibility for somebody to connect to whatever you're looking at. And then when you connect with that, you go in yourself and you open some kind of space inside. And that's what I expect that I am helping people experience, is that openness and that connection. And not, you know, to think of, oh, this is beautiful, this is, you know, it's not about that. I think it's about experiencing something about yourself through the work.
I love that. The work of art as an opening to even for self-exploration.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Because I think it's when that happens is when you have a plan, you know, when you have an idea or when something speaks to you is because something happened to you, something emotional happened to you. And that is the biggest challenge, I think, for me at least as an artist, that if I am giving this to people, you know, if people are feeling what I'm feeling, you know, I think when I am really deep in the work, I suspect that work will have that energy, and that energy is going to be felt.
I'm snapping my finger. These materials as transmissions of energies. Okay, now you speak in John Dewey language with art as experience. I'm not sure if you know, I'll email you. Do you know that book, Art as Experience?
No, but send it to me.
I will email it to that because you're literally speaking John Dewey language right now, talking about exchange of energies.
Everything is energy. We are all energy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, absolutely.
You know, it's everything has energy. All the materials are energy.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, so we are connecting.
Yes, I love it. Art as connection. And that kind of brings us full circle back to what you said in the beginning, how you were thinking about relations and space. And so this is an object in space that we have an opportunity, you're creating an opportunity for us to relate to. And so that relation is external, but also internal, you're suggesting, because you're saying it can be also an opening for within oneself. I love it. So my last question for you is, what advice would you have for emerging women artists, particularly those like you who are exploring interdisciplinary approaches and navigating complex themes in their work?
Stick to your guts. It's very, I think, the more you are true to yourself and you follow your instincts, the better it is. And pay a lot of attention to, you know, is this what you really want to do? Because it's a very challenging profession. You know, it's not something that you're going to be rewarded all the time. You're going to be working, you know, and having ups and downs, and you're going to have to be very strong.
And do the self-care that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So
yeah,
pay a lot of attention to that. That's my advice, to build this from the beginning. It helps.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so excited to follow your trajectory and to have had the opportunity to learn about your trajectory as an artist. Thank you so much for being here today on Beyond Beauty Podcast.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline. It was great to speak with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us for this inspiring conversation with Frida Baranek. Frida's reflections remind us of the profound connections between our environments, both natural and industrial, and how art can bridge the spaces in between. Her journey from a childhood spent crafting in unique spaces to her large-scale sculptures today is a testament to the power of persistence and curiosity. I hope you found her story as captivating as I have. Stay tuned for more episodes of Beyond Beauty as we continue to explore the incredible worlds of global women artists.